This was a service of thanksgiving for the life of Barbara Deacon, introduced by Bernie Wright, the celebrant, and the opening reading, All Is Well, he asked the audience to imagine that Barbara was saying it herself. Death is nothing at all. I have only slipped away into the next room. I am I and you are you. Whatever we were to each other, that we are still. Call me by my old familiar name. Speak to me in the same easy way which you always did. Put no difference into your tone. Wear no forced air of solemnity or sorrow. Laugh as we always laughed at the little jokes we enjoyed together. Play, smile, think of me, pray for me. Let my name be the household word that it always was. Let it be spoken without effect, without the shadow of a ghost on it. Life means all that it ever meant. It is the same as it ever was. There is absolutely unbroken continuity. Why should I be out of mind because I am out of sight? I'm waiting for you, for an interval, somewhere very near, just around the corner. All is well. After the reading, Bernie Wright, the celebrant, introduced himself. He spoke of Barbara's long, full life of 92 years, and the funeral being not a sad occasion, but a celebration of a long life well lived. Barbara was now on her last journey, surrounded by her sons, Nigel, Ralph and Geoffrey, and her family and friends. Bernie spoke of the tremendous changes Barbara had seen in her life. When she was born in 1932, there were no mobile phones. A new black Ford motor car cost £296. There were very few fridges and freezers. Only the wealthy could buy them. You had to make do, if you had less money, with a meat safe. Clothes were washed in a dolly tub and wrung out with a mangle. People darned socks and turned the collars on shirts and patched their bedsheets. There was a different currency, pounds, shillings and pence. A new house in Leicestershire cost £414. Bernie then said, "Usually, for an occasion like this, I go to the house and talk to the family, take notes, and then compile what's known as a eulogy. But on this occasion, when I arrived, Nigel, Ralph and Geoffrey had made lots of notes, and Nigel had written it all down for me. I read it through, decided that it was well written, so the best thing I can do is to read it to you as it was given to me. A personal family tribute to Barbara. So here it is." Barbara Deacon's parents were Fred, who fought at Wipers in the trenches and who came from a farming family in Lincolnshire, and Ivy Hoyes, a lady's maid, who lived in Whittick. For a time, they both worked at the big house in Burton-on-the-Wolds, which is where they met. They were married in 1926 and ran a farm for several years. They had three children. Barbara was born on the 13th of May 1932 at Belton, near Loughborough. She was the youngest child and had a brother Don and sister Joan. Barbara started school in Belton in 1937. The family left the farm and moved around quite a lot. Barbara transferred to Sileby School, which she left at age 14. Her first job was for the War Office, doing administrative work. This was 1946 and rationing was still in place. She trained in shorthand and typing, which became very useful to her. Her next job was as a secretary with a company which made fishing nets, amongst other things, Ratby Engineering, which started in Ratby and then moved to Peckleton Common. It was there that Barbara met her future husband, David, who was working in the drawing office on a day in June 1951, when he asked her to go to the pictures. Her diary doesn't say what they watched, but she'd seen Clochmerle 4 days earlier, so it probably wasn't that. The day after the cinema, David took her on his motorbike to Matlock for the day, and soon they were meeting regularly and visiting the Dales and other interesting places. He even showed her how to turn wood on a lathe. They were married at St. Peter's Church in Glenfield in March 1955. They had three children, Nigel in 1957, Ralph in 1960, and Geoffrey in 1964. Their first home was in Narborough. They moved to Sutton-in-the-Elms in 1962, where Barbara lived for over 60 years. Barbara liked playing the piano and enjoyed listening to Nigel's folk tune settings. You've already heard one of them. Here's another, The Three Ravens. As it plays, you can recall your favourite memories of Barbara. Mum went back to work in 1970. Her first job was one day a week at Leicester Cattle Market in the settling office, dealing with fat pigs. She loved meeting the farmers and talking to them. She vividly remembered a farmer talking to her with his coat fixed with a 6-inch nail because his buttons had come off. She was also busy one day a week assisting at Riding for the Disabled at Great Glen. At this stage, Nigel, Ralph and Geoff were all helping on local farms in their spare time. The farms all had cows, poultry and some grew potatoes and corn. In June 1976, Mum started work as secretary and PA to the director of Leicestershire Association for the Disabled on Greyfriars Road, Leicester. She met many well-known people, including the Corers, who owned a big hosiery factory in Leicester, and on one occasion, the famous fighter pilot, Douglas Bader. And 40 years later, when Leicester City did so well, and the remains of King Richard were discovered, she was astonished to find that her parking place for 18 years was on the exact spot where his body had been interred by monks at the Greyfriars Priory after the Battle of Bosworth. This wasn't her only brush with royalty. Towards the end of her time working for the disabled, she attended a garden party at Buckingham Palace. In retirement, Barbara enjoyed seeing her grandchildren, Richard and Sarah. She was a wonderful granny and a familiar face to both teachers and parents at Claybrook Primary School. She was a loving grandmother to Jeff's stepdaughter, Amelia, and great-grandmother to Lucas, Sebi, Kira and Louie. Barbara worked as a volunteer at the Age Concern shop in Lutterworth for 25 years, starting when she left full-time work and finishing when she was 88. For most of the time, she drove to the shop. When she could no longer drive, she used the bus or was taken by a member of the family and bussed back. She made some good friends on the staff, and to celebrate her 25 years, her colleagues clubbed together to buy some garden furniture. She used it every morning the sun was out, sitting at the table, drinking her coffee and listening to the birds. Now we have another musical interlude, another of Nigel's folk tune settings. This one is called Searching for Lambs. Throughout life and in retirement, Barbara's passion was walking. She had an encyclopedic knowledge of walks in all parts of England, but particularly Leicestershire, Devon and North Wales. In her youth, she went youth hosteling with her sister Joan, cycling long distances. She attended night classes in Spanish for several years, and when the class folded, the group continued to meet privately to practice their Spanish conversation. Barbara went to Spain time after time. She preferred going alone because it meant she could do what she wanted. She could chat to the locals, who were more willing to talk to people on their own. She also went to Ceausescu's Romania and was both delighted and appalled by what she saw. Shops selling foul-smelling butter wrapped in pieces of brown paper. Women in worn-out shoes mending the roads. Armed police watching people when they alighted from buses and trains. But the people were lovely, and so was the countryside. Barbara was interested to learn a couple of years ago that Nigel and Alison have radio drama friends from Timișoara. Alex's father was one of the leaders of the 1989 revolution. One of their jokes: why are the shops in Romania all 3 miles apart? The answer: to prevent the queues getting mixed up. Barbara rang Nigel once from Ireland whilst he was at work teaching a class. She'd got lost on a remote country lane in her car, and the roads were full of potholes, and she was going from village to village looking for somewhere to stay the night. She'd found a call box in the middle of nowhere and thought he'd like a phone call. The class didn't mind too much, and she managed to get to Killarney before it got dark. There was another occasion when a bomb went off outside her B&B in Spain when she was 79. It blew her off her feet and she broke her wrist. The locals took her to the hospital and had to set her wrist before she could come home. But she was back in Spain again a few months later. Barbara was a talented artist. She liked sketching from life rather than from pictures. Drawing what was in front of her was an important part of the experience. She kept her garden in great condition for 60 years, played the piano, enjoyed listening to piano music and good tenors, including Elvis. She was always interested in Richard's farming activities, even if she kept saying, "You've got too many sheep." She liked radio dramas. She rang Nigel up in 2022, immediately after The Song of the Cossacks, a play about the Yalta Agreement, and the dilemma of ordinary army officers ordered to betray the people whose trust they'd gained. "That was stunning," she said. "Make sure you tell the writer how good it was." Barbara kept driving until she was 82 and her eyesight started to deteriorate. She had loyal friends who would take her out and good neighbours who would call in for coffee and a chat. The family are extremely grateful for the loyalty and friendship given to their mother. And last but not least, we thank Cherry Tree Care Home for the loving care, friendship and compassion she experienced over her last 14 months. Rest in peace, Barbara. In the words of the family, "A light has gone out in our lives, but you would not want us to be sad. You are part of what we are and part of what we will become." This was followed by the hymn "Abide With Me," one of Barbara's favourites. But before we sang this, Bernie pointed out something. Singing sounds a lot better if you stand up. So we all obeyed. And this was followed by the Lord's Prayer. Next, we had some music for reflection. We had Spiegel im Spiegel by Arvo Pärt, played by Tasmin Little and Martin Roscoe. Thank you. and during part of the preceding piece of music, Burney read Intimations of Immortality by William Wordsworth. What though the radiance which was once so bright be now forever taken from my sight? Though nothing can bring back the hour of splendour in the grass, of glory in the flower, we will grieve not, rather find strength in what remains behind. And that sums up Mum's approach to life. Burney also delivered a nice tribute from Jane, the manager of Age UK Leicester and Rutland, the shop in Lutterworth. She says, I'm the manager there. I have the privilege of having worked with Barbara for several years. Her shift was Friday mornings and she would always come in rain and shine. Her humour and lovely personality shone through, and it really made my Fridays having the pleasure of her company. Her friend Betty used to work on the same shift and I used to bake cakes for them, and they would have a coffee mid-morning where they'd catch up with each other's news and enjoy that part of their day. Barbara made a huge contribution to Age UK in the 25 years she volunteered here, and it was a great pleasure knowing and working with her. And coincidentally, Burney works in the same shop, though his period of work there did not overlap with my mum's. Before our final piece of music, Burney read to us a wonderful reading called The Train of Life. Listen. At birth, we boarded the train and met our parents, and we believe they will always travel on our side. However, at some station, our parents will step down from the train, leaving us on this journey alone. As time goes by, other people will board the train, and they will be significant. Our siblings, friends, children, and even the love of your life. Many will step down and leave a permanent vacuum. Others will go so unnoticed that we don't realise they vacated their seats. This train ride will be full of joy, sorrow, fantasy, expectations, hellos, goodbyes and farewells. Success consists of having a good relationship with all passengers, requiring that we give the best of ourselves. The mystery to everyone is we do not know at which station we ourselves will step down. So we must live in the best way. Love, forgive, and offer the best of who we are to the other passengers. It is important to do this because when the time comes for us to step down and leave our seat empty, we should leave behind beautiful memories for those who will continue to travel on the train of life. Thank you, Barbara, for being one of the passengers on my train.
The fallen leaves drift by my window. The autumn leaves kisses, the sunburned hands I used to hold. Since you went away, the days grow long, and soon I'll hear song. But I miss you most of all, my darling. When autumn leaves hard to fall. Most of all, my darling.